John the Baptist just may have been the original hipster. Take a look. Stay with me. He displays an unconventional fashion sensibility, right? Heeding the beauty of vintage thrift finds with a nod to the retro look of prophets past. He argues for progressive ideals, confronts the corrupt powers of the day, and he's even on board with the early organics movement, and an early adopter of the Desert Fathers' paleo diet. John has an air about him as someone edgy, someone who uses his intriguingly offbeat social capital to lead a movement, all the while insisting that it's not about him. And he is effective. His work gets particularly real with the news that Jesus is on his way, and we see another part of him. Confident as he is guiding this movement, John also struggles with his own worth. He pumps up the people, telling them of this amazing power of the one who is coming. And in the same breath, he confesses how utterly unworthy he feels to draw near to the divine. Even untying his sandals seems out of bounds. And remember how disgusting sandals would have been then, especially mucking around on the banks of the Jordan. Foot washing was the necessary work of servants. Yet even this humble interaction feels beyond John's sense of worth. But even as we hear him struggling with his place, his value, he stretches himself, summoning some reserve of courage and trust that he is called to come close anyways. Just imagine this swirling mix of feelings. Once Jesus arrives, we don't hear directly from John, but we see what he does. Pushing through his doubt, he takes the one they'd all been waiting for into the water. Jesus can't do it himself, and John steps up, perhaps gritting his teeth and shaking his head, perplexed and overwhelmed to find himself here. But he refuses to fade away in passive fear. Step back. Take it in. The river doesn't have wild rapids. It doesn't resemble a beautifully carved font. It's slow. It's fairly shallow and murky, filled with silt. Watch them, leaving the heat of the day behind as they splash in, no longer able to see their feet, wading out towards the middle to find a spot deep enough for the baptism. Watch as John plunges Jesus in. He comes back up, sputtering, dripping, and at first, this is the most remarkable thing, that John, even with his perceived unworthiness, is bold enough to baptize the Savior. But it continues. The sky tears apart and the words come. This one is beloved. And this is what baptism becomes and remains as we enter into it over time. Division destroyed, belovedness pronounced. Both elements remain in deep contrast with our world. This week's headlines, like any other, it seems, suffice as evidence. Division, as in terrorist zealots killing free speech satirists. Division, as in the bombing of the NAACP chapter in Colorado Springs. Division, as in Boko Haram's senseless massacres. Questioned worth, as in the vitriolic conversations surrounding the unfolding case of Bishop Cook of Maryland, who hit and killed a cyclist, reportedly while under the influence of alcohol. Questioned worth, as in the ongoing debates of who can live in our country, who can marry, who can belong. In the midst of this division and devaluing, we return referring to this groundbreaking, indeed sky-breaking, baptism. Imagine the sight. Perhaps some combination of a literal event and a drastic transformation of heart for those present. Separation, torn apart, belovedness, assured. John stands, mouth hanging open in confusion and awe, forgetting that he's still standing right in the middle of the Jordan. And somehow, this awe comes to us, comes to include us, as we gather in baptism. Today is one of the four traditional days for baptism in the year. We don't have any baptisms here at All Souls today, but they are happening. As we speak, while we were still sleeping, and later, while we're at lunch, all over. Promises, prayers, water, oil, and light, song, welcome. At baptisms, much of our focus goes to the particular people being baptized. In the best possible way, the delight of a wriggling little person or the respect for an adult taking new steps can draw our attention away from the bigger picture of launching freshly and extending ourselves as one outstretched body. Pause and consider all those people who are diving in today around the globe. Our connection and commitment resides not just with those whose baptisms we witness personally, but with all the tendrils of this strange and beautiful family stretched across time and space. Often, we enact these connections locally, right? We come together face to face, we share meals, we work and play. And that neighborhood aspect is absolutely key. And today's readings also remind us that the ties that bind us together reach far beyond this physical place. They build up a massive web of connection, a cloud of witnesses. At their core, these connections and commitments are about growing into what Martin Luther King named as the beloved community. In the Old Testament reading today, we tell again of God seeing that all creation was good as it first unfolded, and pronouncing this love again at Jesus' baptism. King opens up the root word for beloved, the particular kind of love known as agape in the Greek. He described it as an overflowing love which is purely spontaneous, unmotivated, groundless, and creative. The love of God operating in the human heart. He says that agape does not begin by discriminating between worthy and unworthy people. It begins by loving others for their sakes. That agape is love seeking to preserve and create community. This is the cloud of witnesses. This is connection and commitment. Sounds beautiful, but what does it mean, really, as we live it out? One of the ways that I have seen this beloved community most clearly has been how people have shown up with us, for us, in the year since our son died. Like John, as he watched with wide eyes as the barrier between earth and holy was torn apart, it takes my breath away. I think of the calls and letters, the food and art, humor and prayers, and so much in between that I have received from near and far. I'm called up short not just by the magnitude of this outpouring, but by my growing awareness that so much of this care has sprung forth from this massive, far-reaching community. One born out of water and light, one person at a time, on days like today. This baptismal identity has been the springboard for most of the relationships that have shored me up. And it starts with this simple commitment to being present as witnesses to the promise of life and love. mark the celebration of baptism with joy, rightfully so. And yet, as I have seen more than ever this year, the blessing is far more complex. Listen closely today, and you might hear those resounding "we wills" reverberating on the wind as so many baptisms take place. But more than a baby welcoming party, wonderful as that would be, we are promising to carry each other through death into life, to collectively hold up a light in the darkness when we've long since lost our own baptismal candles. We are promising to remind our sisters and brothers of their belovedness, their fundamental goodness. And even as we reach for this connection with our far-flung neighbors, we also live into it here, locally, both. So what does this commitment mean as we struggle to respond with agape to murder and mayhem in the streets? Or how do we respond when a church leader held in such high regard falls from the pedestal that we created? How do we tear apart the divisions separating us from all those on the margins who others say don't belong? I don't know the answers. But like John, I think we start by taking a deep breath and charging through whatever sense of inadequacy we may carry so that we may show up as this family. We trust that in the mystery of it all, the connection of it all, this is the commitment that we make to one another, no matter who is present for that actual moment of baptism. We keep our eyes peeled, looking for how these barriers between heaven and earth, between us and them, have been torn in two, and we pull the divisions down even more. We trust in the goodness of all and strive to live as this beloved community.